faster, stronger. That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya.
Right,
let's
now.
Get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary, I'm the boss tonight. And you don't give a f- what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask this, I'm not sure. Do anybody make real...
Live slow, die whenever.
You are listening to the Thunderbird Locker Room, 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. We are giving you a backroom perspective on varsity athletes, coaches, and staff here at UBC. Today we have on the show John Stea. He's a strength and conditioning coach here at UBC. He's a UBC grad in kinesiology. He graduated in 2014, and he's currently doing his master's. He's 2 years into his master's for kinesiology. He also works at level 10 if you want him to make you strong. He's been there since 2014. So, John, for your master's, what do you have to do to get a master's in kinesiology?
To get a master's in kinesiology at UBC, not too much.
So do a study?
A master's in kin is a little bit different than your typical master's. So it's not thesis-based, it's course-based.
Oh, really? Okay. So
yeah.
What kind of courses do you qualify for master's? What do you do?
Well, in the master's program, you need to take 30 total credits, so that's 10 classes, yeah. And that includes the last one that you do. It's not a thesis, but it's a major graduating paper.
That sounds like a thesis.
Yeah, that's it, if you put you don't need to do an actual research study.
Oh, okay.
That's the biggest difference, I think. So it's a lot of people who do different things, like they'll review literature on a certain subject and put it together in, you know, like an 80-plus page packet kind of thing.
That sounds like cheating to me. Read it and put it all together?
No, they like review it and give their opinions on it and what they would do, like in current practice, kind of things like that. But it's not, you're not doing an actual study all the time. I think you can do little bits of research, like it's just not as official.
Right, okay. So, because I remember, I think Sean Duke, he did his master's in kin. I'm pretty sure he did his master's at UVic.
Yeah.
And he did a study for his one.
He might have done, so it might have been an MSc in kinesiology. Like, we offer that here, too.
What is the difference? What
so is MSc? MSc is master's of science.
Yeah, that's probably what he did. Yeah. He's pretty smart.
Because they do a thesis.
Yep.
And which is, I'm not 100% sure what the main difference is, but they don't have to take as many courses.
But they have to do a big study.
They have to do, a big research study over the course of their degree, coordinating with their supervisor.
Yeah, so do you have to teach for your master's as well?
You don't have to be a teaching assistant. You have the option to, and it's pretty good pay from my understanding. I think they bumped it up to $6,000 per term.
$6,000 a term? For 4 months of...
4 months of work? Well, not 4 months. You're not working full-time, man.
Oh, yeah.
So think about, when you have a course and there's a TA that shows up once a month, or you know for a fact that your teacher marks all of the exams or something.
Yeah.
Or you only do multiple choice in your class and you only have a midterm and a final. Your TA made like $6,000 to just mark exams.
Is that every TA in the school?
No. There's other TAs in kin that have to do a lot of work, so... In the strength and conditioning class, I've known a lot of the people who've been the TA for that class. Obviously, they have to do a lot more work. Oftentimes, the prof doesn't run the lab. They let the grad student do the entire lab structure. They let them do the lab exam. They let them do everything within the labs is completely under their control.
They let them do it, or they make them do it? If I was a teacher, I would pawn so much off on the TA.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think they make the TA do a bit of work, but it is typically a prof who might be better off having somebody younger in the field do the work, too.
Yeah, okay. Why would that be better if they were younger? Why would that?
Well, maybe just more current ideas, because the one I'm thinking of, I know the guy who teaches certain classes, is a bit, he's, a bit gray.
Okay,
you know,
old school.
He's a bit old school, so it's good to have a young voice in there, maybe relaying some of the same stuff from the gym into what the kids in like third year are learning.
Okay, what class do you TA? Have you TA'd in?
I have not TA'd. Because I work full-time, so I decided not full-time, but you know, enough in North End that I don't need to TA.
Yeah.
So even though I probably should have, because you make $6,000, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you could just.
I really screwed up. That's what I'm thinking here.
At level 10, are you doing separate clients?
Yeah.
Like rich people. Because level 10's in West Van, right?
Level 10 is in North Van, but we do have a lot of West Van clientele. I train a mixture of everyone that's, you know, like from like a rich, super, you know, like 40 plus is worth like way too much money. Anyone who can afford personal training is probably worth a decent amount of money.
Yeah, probably.
During the summers, I train mostly athletes in like small groups.
Like hockey groups.
Hockey groups. Like, that's kind of the big thing in Canada, I would think.
Yeah.
Because so many kids play hockey, and hockey is a sport where it costs a lot of money to play hockey.
And they got a long off season as well.
It's not crazy long, but it's long enough, and they firmly believe in doing some kind of like off season training, and their parents need to put all their money somewhere to make their kid go to the NHL.
Yeah, it's competitive too, right? Every kid plays hockey.
Yeah.
Every kid who can afford it plays hockey.
That's why Canada's good at hockey. It's just sheer volume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you throw everybody at something, eventually something will stick.
Yeah, like New Zealand with rugby. They're not particularly good athletes, but they're good at rugby.
Well,
like,
I mean,
there's countries with way better athletes in them who aren't as good as rugby.
It's just born into them. Although the thing is, if you play rugby, you don't get the same kind of downsides as you would from just playing hockey.
What do you mean, downsides?
Well, think about rugby. It's pretty natural. Like, you're on a field.
You're
on the earth.
You're on your feet, yeah.
You're not on, you don't have, like, knives stuck to your feet on frozen water.
Yeah.
So a lot of things happen when you play hockey. So you have knives stuck on your feet, you're on a frozen lake, and you're holding a stick that only goes one way.
That's true.
Like, you don't turn back and forth. You just rotate the same way.
Yeah.
So because of that, they have a lot of postural issues and
hip stuff.
Yeah, they have a lot of hip stuff.
Yeah.
If we're gonna break it down, because they got hip stuff.
They got hip stuff. Okay. So, do you find it more fun to do an athlete or like an old person? An old person, but like let's take a 45-year-old house mom. which one is more entertaining to? Depending on how hot the house mom is.
I don't do too many of the housewives these days, but I've always liked working with athletes a lot more. You can do more stuff.
You can push them a little harder
Can push them harder, but like they don't break. Like, the goal with an athlete is performance at the expense of other things.
Right.
With like a normal person, depending on who it is. Some people come in for, you know, like general fitness. They just want to be less fat. Some people are, you know, in severe kind of, well, not in severe pain, but like they have, you know, a lot of postural issues and things you're trying to clean up so that they don't, you know, walk crooked all the time
right,
or something.
Or sit down.
Or they're like chronic crooked. Back pain kind of thing.
Right.
And you try and help them with that. But athletes, like you're doing a bunch of crazy stuff to make them better.
Rope climbs and
you can be creative with it too,
pulling stuff. Yeah, you can't
think about the 75 minute warm-up we did today.
Yeah, it was half, but the workout was short though.
Yeah,
it was quick and pretty easy. Why are we tapering for the season? Is that why?
This would be like more of a taper week for you, Vic.
Mm-hmm. When you were in school, did you want to be a strength coach, or did you just kind of fall into it? Like you liked working out and getting jacked, so you figured you might as well spend your life in the gym.
That's probably where it came from. I definitely had aspirations when I started school of like, man, maybe I could be a physio or something along those lines. But then I think, not necessarily because it was too hard, but I just liked working out a lot. And I was like, man, this is kind of fun. And then I think it was somewhere around maybe my fourth or fifth year, I got back in touch with like Joe and Level 10 and all the people there.
Right.
And that kind of set me back off. I got to do a little bit of interning at Level 10, and I kind of got a taste of coaching. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Maybe I could do this. And then like 5 years later, I'm still kind of
turns out
that.
You can.
Turns out I can.
And you can make decent money doing it. Or eventually you'll make decent money.
Yeah,
eventually.
Let's yeah, I don't know about that. That's where you follow your dreams, yeah. not from
Did you well
do yeah. what you love, the money might come up.
You have a wealth of happiness.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm wealthy in happiness.
did you play sports like in high school?
Oh yeah. Yeah, what'd
you, what'd you do?
I wasn't just like an Uber.
Did you wrestle?
I did. I was like the standard. Well, I went to Carson.
Okay.
So I was the three Carson sports. I played football, I wrestled, and I played rugby.
Yeah. Which was your favorite, do you think?
Oh, rugby, by far.
Rugby? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling was fun, but the wrestling practice was fun. I didn't like meets too much.
No? Yeah, meets weren't. I didn't like meets either.
No, I just like dicking around to practice and like rolling with people.
Wrestling yeah. your friends. I mean, I wrestled a blind kid. You know, have you ever had to wrestle a blind kid?
I never had to, but I've seen it before. You gotta like give them your hands.
So they start wrist
lock.
And wrist. So I get one wrist and he gets another wrist, and they just say go, and I would like rip my arms at and like everyone's boo. The kid's looking for you and the coach is yelling like he's on your and you just my wrestling like technique, I was terrible on the ground, so I'd just tackle people from rugby, basically. So I'd just tackle and then stand up again. So I'm tackling this kid and then stand up and back off so he doesn't know where I am and then tackle. And then,
that's terrible. I would have booed. That's just a boring wrestling match.
But I won, so.
I would have loved that. I was all about, do you remember the Gabori?
What's a Gabori?
The Gabori is when someone shoots on you. Okay. You get him in, like, the headlock.
So he's trying to take you down.
He's trying to take you down. And then you've, like, sprawled a little bit.
Yeah.
And you just grab his head and his arm, and you just twist as fast as
you
can
roll.
On one side.
Isn't that
you
the Kimura? Isn't it called a Kimura?
No, a Kimura is like an MMA thing, like where you, like, have somebody's arm knocked up behind him.
I had a buddy, and his special move, like, the thing he did all the time was a suplex. He's this jacked Italian guy, and, like, his move was the suplex. Like, that was his go-to.
Like, he's Kurt Angle?
He'd get a guy's back and just flip him over his head. And there's one time, it was at Argyle, it was a wrestling meet, and he gets behind this kid and just dummies him, like, flips him onto his head and knocks the kid out. And his brother comes in and starts trying to fight him, and he's like, what?
Oh, my God.
He, like, almost killed the guy. He did like a, what is that, like a 5-point throw where the kid's feet like go flying
overhead
in high in
points.
Like grade 10, he's throwing this kid over his head.
Oh my God.
I think it was only like
I've only seen like one of those, and it was just a fireman throw, like, which is the easiest 5-point to stand up after a fireman and like
you pick him up sideways. No, this is like full suplex, like WWE style. It was hilarious. His grandpa used to watch the WWE a lot. That's probably where he got it from. So let's talk about inspiring athletes. So I saw a video today on, you might have seen, it was posted on, it was everywhere, of a 15-year-old girl dunking in high school in the States. So putting that aside, maybe I'll pull it up, but putting that aside, do you find an athlete that is like a freak like that, like no training, can dunk when they're 15, more impressive than a guy like, say, Brad Thorne, who played for New Zealand, who's not really like, doesn't really have any special physical gifts, but he just works his butt off. Like, what do you like more in an athlete? Like, the guy who's a freak at 15, or the guy who works his ass off and gets there from just hard work, basically?
They both have their merits. The guy who's a freak athlete is obviously the craziest thing in the world.
Just super impressive, right?
Well, because you can, the thing about coaching athletes is you can do kind of a shitty version of a drill, give them like no instruction, then they just go and do it better than you ever could.
Right. Some people
and
they've never done
freaks.
It before, right?
Yeah. It's like talent. You ever heard that thing where it's like hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard?
Yeah, that's on the wall.
That's a lie.
That's on the wall at level 10.
That's why we moved. No. Yeah, talent could beat hard work when talent is drunk and hungover.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the hard work guy who is like fighting against everything he has.
Yeah.
Genetically, to be a success, that's way more impressive.
It, like, mentally, you just, like, it's very impressive.
It was rewarding because you're like, oh, hard work does pay off sometimes. That's cool. Yeah.
And you can't, like, because Brad Thorne, he's won pretty much everything there is to win in rugby. So he's won Super Rugby. He won the Premiership. He won the Rugby League World Cup. He won the Rugby Union World Cup. That's basically everything. I think he won the Heineken Cup as well. He's won everything you can win in rugby. Like, because there's freaks like John Jones. You know, you've seen John Jones, like UFC guy.
Yeah,
famous for not training hard. Going, like you said, like going to stuff hungover and just dominate. Like, he won the championship when he was like 23 or something.
Yeah, freak athlete.
What's
his brother's name?
He's got two brothers in the NFL.
Two brothers in the NFL. It's a good family.
He's got good genes. Yeah. Like, a guy like that is, I mean, what do you do against him? What do you do with a guy, if you get a guy, like, have you ever had a guy
I've had some
like
freaks
to train?
Not that caliber, because, I mean, it is still, you know, you're not going to hit the lottery every time.
Right.
I've had kids come in who, the most impressive kid I've ever worked with, when he started with me when he was like 14 or 15. This is like an off-season hockey kid.
Yeah.
He had never front squatted before, never hand cleaned before. He weighed maybe 100 and probably like 65 pounds that summer.
Right.
Within 3 months, he hand cleaned 196.
Kilos?
Pounds. Okay. Yeah. So, like, I mean, this is still like, you know, like 14. Small 14, 15-year-old kid. He front squatted. He'd never front squatted before, and I still remember this. The second week of him front squatting, he threw up like 185 on like a plus set or something. He ended up doing 12.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then by the end of the next year around, he front squatted 300 pounds.
Is he in the show now?
Not yet. This is draft year coming up.
Okay. Do you want to tell me who it is or no?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't have to. Yeah. Does his last name rhyme with Mould?
No, I do know one of those kids. Yeah. They're just in.
I know Gouldy, the one who's my age, went to the States somewhere, right?
Well, they both did.
Oh, his brother.
Yeah, Malcolm and Gavin went to the same school.
Okay.
Yeah, they both went to Michigan Tech. I mean, like, which one do you know? Malcolm?
Both. I used to play hockey at their house.
Yeah.
I sucked, but.
Yeah.
So, like, what kind of training do you advocate when you train an athlete? Like, power? Like, there's a guy named, he's a UFC guy. His name's Nick Curson. Have you heard of him before? Speed of Sport?
No.
So the way he trains, I'll bring up a video of him because you might have some,
am I gonna get angry?
Stuff to say about this.
I'm really trying not to be negative, Chase. I'm really going to be, 2017 is a positive.
You're going to challenge the whole fitness industry right now, John. You're going to shit all over it.
That's really easy.
These people don't know what they're doing. Come see me. So basically what Nick Curson's whole philosophy is that it's all about speed. So he doesn't do, like, heavy weight training. He only does, like, you'll see here, like, foot, like, watch, he's got this machine that he can get people on. I don't know why he's dancing there. But see, you got, like, lightweight, but you got to do, like, crazy fast stuff.
Yeah, I'm already angry.
Like, so for the people who can't see this, basically, so his thing as well is like foot strength, right? So they're standing on blocks, they're doing plyos on the, like, this is one of his main workouts is plyos on boxes.
That's fine.
This kind of stuff. But this is all he does. Like, this is not part of a wider training program. This is what he does. And then there's another one. I'll show it to you. Where's the machine that he's got? So they're hopping over cones. This thing. So there's like no weight on there, right? And this is the kind of thing they're doing for bench. So it's like just imagine a bench press machine, but no weight, and you're just going as fast as you can. So, like, what kind of work are you getting here? I mean,
I think this kind of falls into you ever read Bruce Lee, Chase?
Read Bruce Lee?
Yeah, Bruce Lee made several books.
No, he made them.
He wrote them, yeah.
With his own hands.
If you look at the pages, some of the pages are like just handwritten photocopies of what he wrote.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. If you look up like the Tao of Jeet Kune Do, which I just started a little bit ago, but like this actually like brings up one thing pretty quick. So a lot of it's just kind of his philosophy. But it's very easy to relate to coaching or sports. It's one thing he talks about, the way I interpret it was, so a lot of it's, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like this. It's like his hand drawings of people doing flips and throws and stuff.
Like how to, yeah, I see that, yeah.
So it starts kind of like with his philosophy and a lot of different, it almost reads as quotes.
Right, okay.
Because he just kind of wrote like a couple lines at a time sometimes. Sometimes he'd write a whole paragraph.
What is this? A drawing of a face?
I don't know. There's some weird stuff in there.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's like target areas, the eyes. Okay. So like that, going back to that Nick Kurson thing.
So he'll talk about, and I relate this to coaching. He was relating it more to people learning disciplines of fighting.
Right.
People will learn like one discipline, one technique, one kind of skill set, and try and take that approach to everything.
Right.
So I relate that to coaching, or at least strength and conditioning, in the sense is there's not one answer for everything.
Right, okay.
So, like, if you go in there with this dude, and you think speed is the answer to everything.
Right.
Sure, that might be for some people.
Right.
And I, in my experience, a lot of this stuff he does, like, plyo work is probably underdone, like some ankle stiffness stuff is probably not done by enough people. But he's doing one method, like, he's using one method to try and do everything. That's just one piece of a puzzle. That's, you have to draw from everything.
So you need some powerlifting, maybe.
Yeah. If you were going to look at, like, the origins, if you would, of, like, let's say a strength conditioning.
Yeah.
You can draw, I guess when strength and conditioning started, they would have drawn from things like powerlifting and bodybuilding and track. Things where people were using weights to make themselves stronger, look better, or move quicker.
Right.
And then you can kind of take pieces from, so going to this, you can take pieces from martial arts. You can take pieces from wrestling, gymnastics. Yeah, any combat sport, really. Mm-hmm. And start piecing together different things, until like kind of the small pieces would be like our like the sports that we train here.
Right.
And you've taken, so you think about what we do. Let's take like a normal lift, right? We take pieces from, like, Olympic weightlifting.
Right, so like a clean.
We clean, but we hang clean. We hang power clean.
Right, so why don't we do a clean from the floor, like a full?
The reasoning behind Olympic that clean. Is more, we don't clean from the floor because most people can't pick a bar up off the ground well.
Okay.
Seriously.
Organize and not with a messed up back.
Yeah, so every human should be able to hip hinge. So like the start of our clean,
right,
where we load. Not everyone should be able to pick a bar up off the ground.
Okay.
Do you know why a bar is, this is a good thing, you know why a bar is such a certain height off the floor?
Like the weight, why the weights
are so... Yeah, why the weights are so big. I don't know if like I told you this before.
Is that like an optimal position to get in?
So I'm not sure if this is true. I heard this, like, you can look it up, but...
Well, you're the experts.
This is like weird random trivia.
Okay.
That a plate is so big because the radius is like the average width of the human head.
And it's just...
So that if you were to, let's say in the original use of barbells, if you were to drop it on your head, you don't die.
Okay, so if you're underneath and the bar falls, it won't hit your
face.
Think
like Olympic weightlifting. If you do something, you snatch the bar over your head. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen like weightlifting fails where it pins the guy on the ground.
And you fall over and say the bar like rolls over your head, it won't hit your face and just completely destroy you.
Let's see. I hope this is true.
This is on Livestrong. I don't know.
But even then.
I don't think this will have it on here.
Nah.
We need like a history of weightlifting book. I mean, I don't think we're going to find it anywhere.
All right. Well, then it can't be proven wrong.
That doesn't mean it's right.
It sounds right. But bars are a certain height off the ground. Not every human being is a certain height.
So it's not actually designed to be the optimal size. It's just so you don't kill
convenient.
Yourself.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
And a standard. So like this is a terrible example. We're quite similar levers, but like look at my levers compared to, let's say like Sam Clark, who's like 6'5" and 30%
long arms, long legs.
Yeah, 30% torso. Everything else is leg and arm.
Yeah.
So like we're slightly different.
Yeah.
So like I can get to the ground a little bit easier than Sam.
Right.
But my arms are super short, so I can't quite grab something.
I have short arms too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone's different.
Everyone's a little bit different. So we kind of cater to what everyone can do.
which is have a hand clean.
Yeah, everyone can hinge.
Yeah.
And everyone can...
jump.
Jump. That's where the power part comes from.
Right.
And then the other criteria would be a squat.
Right.
So that you can hold tension when you catch it. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the other reasons we like front squat.
Right. And so why do we front squat instead of the back squat? The back squat,
reason.
You can move a lot more weight.
You move more weight, but...
And it's fun.
I used to do it all the time. It's the same reason. Not everyone can do it very well.
Right.
Whether it's because of, like, no shoulder range. So
you can't even get your arms
back. Yeah, you can't even get your arms here. So what happens is if you can't get your arm to here, like, in a comfortable way,
so
you
John's
make up for that.
So John's holding his arm at, like, 90 degrees. Yeah. Fist to the
so
ceiling,
like, even
basically.
When you do that, even when you bring your arm up, you just stick your chest out like halfway. So you're trying to find range somewhere else. So I think the body's like a chain. If you don't have range at one joint, you got to make it up somewhere else.
Right.
So like that's why you see guys go into a back squat, and as soon as they put their hands on the bar, their spine goes into a giant arch.
Because they're trying to make up for their lack of shoulder range.
And the other thing is too, if you think about where the bar is, it's behind you. So you want to drive into it.
Right.
You want to arch to keep tension. And then there was that damn thing. I don't know. You probably heard this too when you started lifting. It was like, you want to just arch really hard into everything.
Yes.
Don't ever let your back round. Just create as much arch and extension as possible.
So I've heard like some, I used to listen to this like CrossFit podcast. What was it called? It's three dudes. And one of them actually
Barbell
died.
Shrugged?
Yeah. One of them actually died recently.
What?
The big guy. I think he had a heart attack or something.
God.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying this guy's dead, and he's not, but I'm pretty sure one of them.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, just, Barbell Shrugged. I think the guy actually died.
Doing CrossFit.
And that's not doing CrossFit. I think he had a heart attack. Well, maybe he was doing CrossFit.
Exactly.
And they were talking about how they talk about cues a lot and how some cues became standard in the industry and people would use them on people who didn't need them. Right?
Yeah.
So like what you're saying, like keep your back arch. If someone already has a flat back and you tell them to arch their back, they'll look like a U basically, right?
Yeah, they look like have you ever seen that video of that Russian chick, the 12-year-old girl that bench presses like 290?
Yeah. And she just arches her back.
Because her spine is, 4 feet off the bench.
Yeah, she moves the bench or the bar 3 inches.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, basically, people kind of underreact and then overreact.
Like, they'll underdo something?
Yeah, and then it'll just go completely the other way.
Right.
So, like, you don't let people... We wanted people to stop rounding their back. So we were like, get your back straight. Just keep going. Just keep arching as hard as you can. And the thing is, it's like, it's not either extreme. It's in the middle, like everything else.
So you talked about how everyone should be able to hip hinge.
Yeah.
What else should everyone be able to do? Just standard.
Every
human? Your layman person walking around, office person, what should they be able to... What movements should they be able to do? Like a pull-up or a chin-up?
That's different. Like basic strength standards or something else. I mean, if we're talking just basic movements, I should hope most people can stand on one leg for more than 5 seconds. That'd be pretty useful.
Yeah.
Hinging, squatting, pushing, pulling. Like if we're talking strength standards, I hope most people can do, a pull-up or, I hope most guys can do like 5 pull-ups.
And girls, women, like at least one.
Yeah.
To save yourself.
If they're on the edge of a cliff, yeah. So, we all wind up there once or twice in our life.
Oh, my God. I've had way too many cliffs. Let's say a dude, he works in IT, and he goes to the gym like twice a week. How many pulls should that guy be doing?
Like young dude, mid-20s, I hope he can do like 5 to 10. Like it's not going
to
take much effort, I feel like. Let's say you work out 3 times a week.
Yeah.
You do like a really basic full body program. You do some kind of squat. You do some kind of hamstring and hip work, like some kind of hip lift. You do some kind of push, some kind of pull. You can get out of there in like half an hour. Maybe like do some kind of cardiovascular activity so you don't die when you're 50. Yeah.
Work your heart a little bit. So what would that guy, would you want him going heavy those 3 days?
No, because he doesn't need to. I mean, he can train hard.
if he wants to. Yeah.
But he's like, unless he really wants to be strong, then you don't need to be that strong.
To make it through life.
Well, to like be an IT guy.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to type and sit and work all day. I was listening. What is it? You know Kelly Starrett, right? The the stretching dude.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah. So his standard for a dude that can date his girl, he's got like a 200-pound boulder in his front yard, and his standard is the guy has to be able to pick it up to date his daughters.
A 200-pound boulder.
I think it's 200 pounds or like 150 or something. I don't even know if I could pick up a 200-pound boulder.
That'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah, it'd probably be weird. I think it might be just 100 pounds.
Maybe. Like one of those CrossFit D-balls.
D-balls.
That's what they call like 100-pound medicine balls.
They call it a D-ball?
I think it's a steroid.
Yeah, die-ball.
Dianaball. Yeah.
Well, it's time for our first break here on the Thunderbird Locker Room. We will be back after this ad with John Stea, and we will talk about steroids, which is quite an interesting subject. Also, this is our first content warning. Probably should have put one at the start of the show because we've been swearing throughout, but we get a little more inappropriate.
Hey there. My name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, thanks for that intro, Peter. Good seeing you here. We are going to get back to the Thunderbird locker room. Today we've got John Stea on the show. He's a UBC strength coach. Here we go. Do you take steroids?
No.
Should you take steroids?
Absolutely not. It's my official position.
Don't take steroids? Why? You get jacked. Not all of them are bad for you, though. Like, there's some that...
It depends. Yeah. It's the same answer for every question. It depends.
Yeah. So, like...
If if you have HIV... You can take steroids. Go for it.
Yeah. What if you're just a guy, but you just want to be just as strong as you can? Maybe start taking testosterone on the side.
Well, it's
Is that
illegal,
a bad
Chase.
Thing?
That's a thing.
If you get prescribed.
Do you prescribe testosterone? It depends. In small dosages, yeah. Like, I don't see it.
You don't see it?
Being too much of an issue. Like,
yeah. What about the other
Once things? You're past a certain age, I mean, you can get it prescribed, I think, in this country. I feel like after you're 35.
You can get prescribed testosterone?
If you
got to prove
hormone.
That you have low...
Yeah, if you prove you have low levels. I do actually know a guy who does not organically produce testosterone.
Oh, really?
So he gets vials and vials of this stuff.
He gets it? Or do his friends get it?
Well, he gets to do it all the time. No, he's ripped now.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's... Just ask the doctor for a little extra, right?
Yeah.
What about, like... So in the Olympics, so the Russians got popped this last Olympics, and it was like systemic doping throughout the whole country.
But
right?
It was more than that. It was because it was state sponsored. That's why everyone was
upset. Like that's what I meant. Like systemic, like it was in the government was organizing.
Did you see the story about how they were taking the samples out?
No, what?
So this is like some James Bond movie shit.
Okay.
So, they had the samples of whatever it was, athlete's urine. There's bottles of piss.
Yeah.
And the whatever the drug testing facility was. So what the Russians did was they drilled a hole in the wall in the middle of the night.
Okay, so where is the World Anti-Doping Agency? Where's their headquarters? Do you know where it is?
WADA is?
Yeah.
I do not know where their headquarters is.
Because this could be an international... crime if it's in like
no it was definitely like their base in Russia.
I was thinking like if it's in the States and they're like
okay it's not like
Russian
James Bond
spies.
It's like like a James Bond that operates on a only in country
a
basis.
Domestic level
yeah
James
domestic
Bond.
Level
okay
perfect so they drilled a hole in the wall in the middle of the night, snuck like something into the facility.
Okay.
Stole the urine samples and replaced them with clean ones.
With like just like a drone thing?
Yeah.
Or did they get a guy in there?
No, I don't think it was a guy. I think they like had a machine go in, like some sort of like remote controlled thing.
Oh my God.
Swapped the samples, took them back out through the hole, then they found out, like, they must have found this out, because that was the big story. They must have found out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because that was the huge thing. That was, like, they stole drug samples and swapped them out.
Oh, my God. I thought it was just a bunch of people got popped. I didn't know this happened.
Yeah, I mean, there have been stories for years that, you know, Russians, like, line their athletes up with cups full of pills and stuff, and they just kind of down them.
Yeah. The Welsh... So the Welsh rugby union team, before the 2011 World Cup, I think they had a four-month training camp in Poland, I think it was.
Okay.
And these guys were training four times a day. They put a video on YouTube of it. They're training four times a day hard. They're showing the video. Like, they're training hard. And they come out of this camp jacked, jacked, right? I'm watching these videos, and they're like, oh, yeah, they had the cooling, the ice. You go and it's negative like 1,000 degrees in there. And they're like, oh, this lets us train four times a day. And I'm like, nothing lets you train four times a day that hard if it's natural. And also they showed the clips of the guys coming by and grabbing their bottles off the table. They weren't making it themselves. They were grabbing their mixer off the table. I'm like, okay, first of all, you're a professional athlete. You don't let someone else make your drink for you. And... why are you putting this on YouTube? Like, this is...
Yeah, that might be a little bit weird. But no, that's totally a thing. Like national-level athletes have all their stuff prepared for them. Like, even if you went to, like, Pisces, they get fed. They get, like, different...
They get fed, but the shakes and stuff, too?
I think their is covered for them. Yeah, I think their shakes are pre-done for them. It's all to, like, match their specific ratios.
When I went to the camp, they just had the bucket there. So they might actually make it for them. Cause
I'm thinking more like national level.
Yeah, this is the national camp. But
For
the ARC.
Oh, okay.
But they just had, like, a bucket of stuff, and you go grab it. But if it's, like, higher level, they might actually make it for them.
Yeah, because
I wouldn't do that. Like, you don't know what these people are putting in there. Especially Rugby Canada. I don't trust Rugby Canada with anything.
I don't know, man. If you want to... Yes. I feel like you'd let them do some stuff. You're an Olympic-level athlete. You don't have to think about anything. You train three times a day. You just eat and sleep in between.
I guess, but, I mean, you're putting yourself at the mercy of someone else for your...
Well, what's worse?
Your testing, right?
Would you rather...
I'd rather just put it in the
You're the guy
myself.
Responsible
yeah.
for failing the drug test rather than being like... I don't know what would feel worse.
Well, it doesn't matter, right? Because you're always held responsible. They don't care that you're responsible for what you put in your body, right?
For sure.
So you're still going to get banned, and everyone's still going to blacklist you, and you're going to get treated the exact same, whether your governing body did it to you or not, if it was yourself. If you go to GNC and buy something off the shelf and get popped, it's the same as if your, like, BC team or your provincial teams puts it in your cup and does it. You get the same punishment. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do. I mean, I've just never had it happen to me, so I'm not sure.
Have you gotten tested before?
No.
You haven't had to get tested? Yeah. We got tested at BC. It's nerve-wracking, actually. Even if you never, like, if you only take protein, you're still nervous because you don't know what's in it.
Yeah, because there's no regulation.
There needs to be some sort of, I've thought
there's
about it
more in this country, but it's not, have you ever seen Bigger, Faster, Stronger?
Yeah, I saw it a long time ago. What is it? Sorry, can you explain?
So Bigger, Faster, Stronger is a movie, a documentary made by, I think, Chris Bell is the guy's name.
Yeah, his brother Mark Bell runs the strongest gym in the West.
Yeah, super training. Okay, jeez. Easy. And it's a documentary about steroid use in America and kind of the... fascination the state's at. I think it's like every 1980s image possible. It's like giant pro wrestlers, Rocky, and just huge just men.
And what they're taking.
Yeah, and what they were taking.
Size.
And kind of like how messed up the everything from taking steroids and how blown out of proportion some of the risks can be.
Yeah, like I said, like steroids, it is overblown how bad they are for you, right?
Well, yeah, everything kind of is.
If you're reasonable with it, it's not going to kill you. But if you go over there's been tons of pro wrestlers that have died way too young, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot to that.
Like
Chris Benoit he didn't just have like roid rage.
Yeah.
The guy's special move was diving off the top rope and hitting people with his fucking head. He had more brain damage than he had the brain of like a 90-year-old man.
Yeah, who went to war a bunch of times or something like that. Yeah. Got hit with a mortar when he was 30.
He was in Vietnam and then somehow also World War
One. Yeah.
But what were we talking about? The supplements. There's a scene in that movie where Chris goes down to, like, in front of the hardware store, picks up, like, 7 migrant workers, brings them back to his house,
okay,
and makes, like, a tub of creatine, has them put together a bunch of creatine supplements. And because of the term, I think it's proprietary blend, mm-hmm, the pills that he is selling are 1 pinch creatine, 1 spoonful of, like, rice flour, I think it was.
That's right. And he put a label on it.
Yeah.
And he's legally allowed to sell it.
That's fine. The state of whatever it was, like Utah or something?
I think they're in, were they Florida?
I'm not sure. I feel like Utah is the one where all the supplement regulations are non-existent.
Oh, okay.
Because of, what's the guy's name? Orrin Hatch?
Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with him.
I've heard the name before.
If you've looked into, U.S. politics, he's a real piece of garbage.
I've heard the name before. Yeah.
I feel like he pops up on every show about how he's, I don't know, just made some laws that do not benefit people. They benefit pharmaceutical companies.
Utah's not the most progressive state.
What do you mean? You can have like 7 wives in that state. It's pretty progressive.
And their alcohol laws are very regressive.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Are they a dry state?
They're not dry, but they're like they have dry bars and stuff like that. Like,
What the hell is a dry bar?
I talked about it with Co, I think. They have like juice bars and stuff like that. And you can't, like, they're Mormons, right? So they can have 7 wives, but they can't do a whole bunch of other stuff that normal people would do. Or, sorry, not normal people, but other
non-Mormon people.
Non-Mormon people. God, I forgot it was... Oh, so Chris Bell also made another documentary about drugs.
Prescription Thugs.
Yes.
Yes.
I think
I watched that.
The kicker of that movie is he actually became addicted to drugs while he was filming it.
Yeah.
And he comes out at the end, he's like, I was actually addicted to, like, Vicodin or something while I was doing it. Have you ever taken, like, a Percocet or, like, a Vicodin or something strong like that?
I've had prescription pills for, like, a month ago.
Like, you just had knee surgery, right?
Yeah. So they gave me, aside from the general anesthetic, they gave me hydromorphone. So, which I guess is like some derivative of morphine.
Basically probably the same thing as morphine.
Yeah, I think the options are you get either oxy or like this kind of morphine.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy for it.
Did it make you feel good, though?
No.
No?
I'm telling you,
morphine.
Man, I don't know how people do heroin.
You don't know how they do it.
I would take it and I just
amazing.
Feel like
that's how they do
exhausted. I'd be like, I just don't. What am I doing?
Yeah.
I just felt sad.
Yeah. I had oxys at one point from surgery, and it just made me feel so amazing.
Really?
Like, I
should definitely have had oxys.
A lot of addiction starts, like, there used to be a thing called, what's it called? It's in Florida. It was called, like, the OxyContin Express, and it was a big highway that went through Florida, and all along this highway, there was, so they'd have the doctor and the pharmacy right beside each other, and you'd walk into the doctor, he'd write you a script, you'd walk over to the pharmacy, and you buy your oxys, right? And he'd just be like, you just walk in, you go, oh, my back hurts.
Yeah.
Writes you a prescription, you go buy the drugs, but they had no, like, national or state system where they write in, like, I just prescribed John Smith 40 oxys. So you
could go around.
So one doctor
clinics.
Would give you 40, and you go 3 blocks down, go to the next clinic. Oh, sorry about that. You go 3 blocks down to the next clinic, and the doctor gives you 40 oxys.
Okay.
And then, so people get addicted. They get addicted to oxys, and then either the healthcare stops covering them, or they don't have enough money for oxys, so they switch to street drugs, like heroin. And that's how a lot of addiction gets started even now in Canada, states, other places, right? There was an article I actually read. I think it was with oxy. So before, lots of people were snorting oxy as well, so they crush it up and melt it, like chase the dragon with it and just and turn it into a liquid, right?
And ride the highway.
And they put some kind of chemical in it where if you crushed it, it would react with the powder that you made and make it inert so it wouldn't affect your body. And their sales went down 90%.
So you wouldn't get high.
So it would, like, inactivate the drug if you crushed it or melted it up.
Yeah.
So you'd have to pop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so you have to take them normally.
So 90%, so basically that sort of shows that 90% of their sales was people crushing it up and snorting it or turning it into like a, isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's pretty fucked.
90%.
That's just, I don't know. Is that what happened with fentanyl?
No, fentanyl's actually it's a prescription drug. So they actually use it in hospitals because it's stronger than morphine.
You know what? I have had fentanyl.
You really?
Yeah.
It's 10 times stronger than morphine.
Yeah,
right?
It was the only thing. Have you seen this before?
Yes, I did. I have seen it.
Yeah. So
what John just showed me is he's got a massive scar up like through his belly button. Probably, eight inches?
Yeah, at least.
From, like, probably 4 inches above his belly button, a straight line through the belly button down to his crotch, basically.
Yeah.
It's massive. What happened?
So that was, actually, same year I tore my ACL the first time. Ugh. Good year.
Yeah. Great year for the boys.
Yeah. This was late December. Okay. I go to the gym. Come home, you know, standard day.
Yeah.
Start getting like some weird abdominal pain. Figure it's like, hey, maybe I just have to shit.
Yeah.
Take,
which,
you know.
It's
happened. Yeah. Took like, you know, drank some tea, had some fiber. Just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And is getting to the point where I'm like in blinding pain.
Okay.
So I go to the hospital. I go to the emergency room at good old Lions Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, your pain is escalating quite a bit.
I'm telling them like knock me out. Like this
no,
hurts.
I'm like screaming.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm like I'm fucking wailing.
People are looking at you.
People are like, looking at me.
This guy's gonna die.
Yeah. No, and I'm just sitting there, like just like
People are walking in, like no, treat him first.
Yeah. Which apparently
I just got
doesn't
the
work.
Treat him.
Yeah. People with colds are going in ahead of me. So they take me in. They start just like handing me morphine.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
And they give you your own button to press.
They just kept on shooting me with it, like 20 cc's at a time. And it's doing, I'm just getting stoned. I'm just like, where? But like, I'm like doing that and still screaming in pain.
Still in pain.
So then they're like, we're going to give you this thing that's, I don't know how I remember this. I was so high, but it's more powerful than, my brain, they told me it was 1,000 times more powerful than morphine.
It's 10 times.
I guess it was fentanyl. So they gave me that, and I was on easy street. I was good.
You're on easy
pain
street.
Pain went away, and I still vaguely remember being, like, dragged into the operating room kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what it was, if we're going to finish that story, is my large intestine is not attached to anything at the peritoneal wall there, so it's not sitting in place. It can kind of just flip-flop around like a skipping rope.
Okay, so you finish that, and then we'll go to science. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it, as a result of that, as you can imagine, there's a lot of shit going on in there. It tied itself in a knot with itself and kind of some of my small intestines.
Jeez.
So they cut me open.
Like a
straight
fish,
to like a fucking
like.
Fish. Yeah, like the fucking movie Green Room, if you've seen that. Just slice right up the middle.
Yeah.
And took out...
It looks here really horrible.
Like 2/3. If anyone's into scars, let me know.
Like, single.
Like 2/3 of my large intestine out. So I don't have like the part that goes up or the part that goes across here.
Oh, really?
So yeah, no appendix, no, And like a good chunk of small intestine.
Yeah.
And then the way they phrase it, too, they're like, we just kind of like stitch that into whatever's left and then just patch you up.
Oh, really? So they just sewed it together, basically.
That's my understanding.
Sent you on your way.
Yeah, me, the poor little fucking 18-year-old me is like, oh, okay. Just kind of put all my guts. I guess if it keeps working, it works.
Yeah, so I talked about fentanyl with one of my buddies, Jake Ilnicki. He just got signed to a pro team, his first, like, official contract.
What sport?
Rugby.
Okay.
Yeah, he plays prop for Canada.
Okay.
You might know him. He's pretty famous. I was telling him about, like, how the outrage everyone's having about fentanyl, like, because people are dying from it, right? And we weren't actually able to use that podcast, so I'm going to re-say the thing now. So what some people advocate for is, like, cracking down, like, crack the whip, take out drug dealers, kill them like that dude in the Philippines, Duterte's calling for people to murder drug dealers and users. Yeah. But
just blind murder all the time, like fucking
that's
Sicario open here.
And it actually just got revealed that he might be actually addicted himself to drugs. So it's just like gay guys that are too scared to come out with it. They come out against.
Yeah,
it's basically the same thing.
It's basically
thing for
how
him, right?
Republicans who hate gays. So Mike Pence is gay, is what we're saying.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Okay, so the fentanyl. So I think the best solution would be to legalize and regulate all drugs, or at least decriminalize. So,
yeah.
And here's the thinking around that. So the fentanyl thing, people aren't buying straight up fentanyl and then taking it, right? They're buying what they think is heroin, and it's laced.
Yeah, with fentanyl. Laced with fentanyl. Or it's like all I hear now.
Yeah, the fentanyl.
Weeds
crazy,
laced with fentanyl.
Crazy, right? Like all this, or something else, some other weird, crazy drug, right?
But all called like some weird shit now, like triggered, shattered glass or some crap.
Yeah. But if it's legal and regulated, then we know who's making it.
Yeah.
We know where it's coming from, and we know where it's being sold. So if I go, hey, I want some heroin today, I go to Heroin R Us or whatever. Yep. But
respectable place, right next to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, right next to Chuck E. Cheese. You go in, they take your ID, you're over 18 or 19 or whatever the age that the government decides to set it at, and I buy my heroin from them. And maybe there's, you know those safe sites? Maybe you have to take your heroin at that safe site. So you're only allowed to take the heroin there.
Yeah.
At the store.
Until you come down or?
Or until you come down or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Right? So if you take that heroin, you go home and you take it and you die from an overdose and they find fentanyl in your system, they know which dealer it came from and they know who made it. So they can go to that guy and say, hey, you just murdered this guy. You're going to jail. Right? Because we know who did it. And also, if they're the ones selling fentanyl or they're the ones selling heroin, people know that if they buy heroin from this dude, and it's regulated, they're not going to die when they take it. So they will buy from them instead of Joe Blow wearing the trench coat in the alleyway.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think that would work? Or
with like a mass decriminalization of drugs?
Yeah.
I thought about it. I think it does make sense. Like you look at the success they've had with like decriminalizing like weed.
Yeah.
How much money did they make?
So Colorado,
in the States?
They made Colorado. They've already made $1 billion.
Yeah.
I think they made $1 billion the first year.
I think easily, yeah.
But that's not even like if the tax revenue isn't your motivation, like car accidents went down, alcohol use has gone down, because people have somewhere else to turn. And alcohol's been proven to be worse than.
Yeah, well, it would fuck over every South American country who's trying to ship.
Yeah.
Heroin and cocaine into your country.
It crushes like there's been stories about Mexican cartels collapsing
because
they can't sell weed to Colorado, and that's just one state. Imagine if all the states
every state did
it. Weed was legal, and if Mexico legalized it, because one of the reasons that Mexico doesn't legalize weed, which would they know would help
it's a cartel,
them because
yeah.
they have cartels. Well, there's the cartels are in the government, right?
Yeah.
But also a lot of the foreign aid that America does to South America. And so, like, countries like Bolivia and Peru and places that make cocaine, a lot of that foreign aid, I put it in quotations, is to specifically earmarked to crack down on drug dealers. And they say, if you don't do this with this money, we won't give you foreign aid. See, right?
So yeah, I see. That's,
so
that's...
it comes, it's not like it was written on the money, like you have to, but it is heavily implied, like, this is what this is for. Or not, this is what this is for, but if you're not doing this other thing, then you're not going to get this money, right? So that's why a lot, like, there was one country in South America that actually did this, decriminalized. I'm actually going to look it up right now, and they had huge success with it. I think it was Portugal, because that's not South America.
Portugal's not, is in Europe, but, well, Brazil speaks Portuguese. Legalized all drugs.
Portugal, it was Portugal, so it's not South America, it's in Europe, but... It's 10 years ago they legalized it, right? And, I mean, we're not going to be able to go through the whole thing here and now. Their president's talked about it, and, like, their drug use has it's either been steady or gone down, right? Because people, if they legalize heroin today, you're not going to go, you're not going to be hey, you know what?
I'm going to ruin my life today.
I'm not doing anything on Friday. I'm going to go try some heroin, right? And even if you do, Like, it's the same thing with teenagers. You tell them not to do something, they're going to do it. Right?
There's
same
that
with adults,
sure.
Right? If someone goes and tries heroin like you, you're like, I don't even know why people would do it. It might make you feel like shit. And you're like, oh, I just don't want to do it anymore. But it's also, if you do start taking heroin and you get addicted, we know who's addicted because you can track who's buying all the heroin and you can put them in a treatment plan. Like, I think the Netherlands actually has a thing where it's a, like...
Of course the Netherlands does.
So, like, they'll have some... Maybe someone's addicted to heroin, right? So, but it'll be government-administered. So they go to this place. They'll get, like, their two shots of heroin a week.
Okay.
And they can still work. They can still hold a job because it's getting provided for them, so they don't have to go suck a dick on the street to pay for it. They take it in a safe place. There's no fentanyl in it. And they're still... And they can work through it. The government can regulate how much they give them.
Yeah.
So they're not giving them overdoses or giving them heroin every morning, right?
Yeah, no, you know what, Chase? You have convinced me. I'm all for it. Legalize drugs.
Legalize!
Me and you. This is what we're doing.
We're going to legalize.
Hey, all of it right now.
Hey, weed is a good business to get into right now.
Are you sure the market's not overcrowded? There's like 700 dispensaries on my block alone.
Yeah, it's not legal yet, though, technically.
How does that work?
They're just choosing not to crack down on it. So the same thing with the states. Like, the Trudeau doesn't want to enforce it, so he's not going to. But they could go kick down.
All of them.
Every door and shut them down. Even Vancouver could do it. But then there'd be riots in the streets. And it wouldn't work anyways, because people would... It's not going to stop people from smoking weed.
No.
Right?
No, so, I know. This is like a city where people actively get high, like, in the middle of a public place every year.
Yeah. Also, like, so Joe Rogan had on his podcast a guy called Dr. Carl Hart. His specialty is drugs, basically.
Excellent.
And his thing is, like, all throughout history, every society there's ever been does drugs, right? Either alcohol, mushrooms, acid's a new drug, but... in the South America, they've got ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Tobacco is a drug. They chew it. They smoke it. People just want to change, alter their mind state.
Yeah.
You're not going to change people to not want to change their mind state. They're going to find a way to do it, right?
What do you think about, though, because all those drugs you brought up, those are all, like, real things. No one in a laboratory made...
Not synthetic drugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like synthetic drugs, I feel like, are fucked.
Well, it depends what...
It depends which synthetic drug. Like, sure, some of them could be clean and safe,
because some synthetic drugs save lives.
Like, of course. But, right? Like, they're super drugs. Like, they've taken things...
Well, you know how they make drugs now? It's computers, and they do thousands of permutations, and then they find it's basically made by computers. Some dude in a lab coat.
It's not Walter White.
Why don't we pour this blue thing into this purple thing and then poof, and then we got a cancer cure, right? It's like computers, and then they run it through, and then it'll come up with a formula, and then they'll make that formula. And it's not just experiment, like,
you know, try it out.
Throwing
stuff
into a petri dish, right?
I had no
idea.
We're
going to legalize drugs?
That's what we're doing, apparently. Okay. All of them.
Oh, that was... We went on a tangent there. And following that tangent, we will tangent into another ad.
Embology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
You'll be glad to know that was our last ad for the show here on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room, and this is our guest today, John Stea. Enjoy the rest of the show. You better. Oh, okay, so earlier you were talking about your stomach getting ripped open
by
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, oh, that's the other part, too, is... So this, when I had the surgery, it was, like, right before Christmas.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know this, but doctors go on vacations.
They do.
They usually tend to spend Christmas with their families. So not that it wasn't, like, a doctor that did the surgery, but there were no I guess, surgeons of that specialty at Lionsgate at the time.
No, like, stomach cutting.
Yeah, no stomach cutting specialist.
Yeah.
So they had to, like, call in some guy in the middle of the night who, like, was just a surgeon in the area. Like,
he's got,
like,
his nightcap on.
Yeah, it's like a backup surgeon or something.
Yeah.
And that's why my scar is so significant.
Oh,
and
really?
Not just, like, a nice little clean slice.
Yeah, they didn't get a... like a plastic surgeon to sew it up or something.
No,
that would be the best, is to get like a plastic surgeon to sew it up to make it like
make
that's
it look
their specialty,
normal.
Right?
No,
it's
I know.
Making stuff look clean, but I guess it's a little too late for that.
No, I probably could still. I feel like it's part of my identity at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that noticeable when you have a shirt on, so.
I take it off all the time, though.
Okay, so you're talking about, ladies, you're talking about your stomach, like, moving around.
Oh, yeah,
intestines.
Yeah.
So did you see that? I'm pretty sure you probably saw this. They found, like, a new organ,
oh.
Then it turned out they were just labeling it as something new.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
I saw it briefly. I looked at it. Yeah, they labeled some segments slightly differently.
So it was like the fat around your organs that keeps it in place.
Yeah.
And they like labeled that a new organ or something because they figured out it was all connected and it used to be different parts.
Okay.
But there's something in a deer and it's called coal fat and it's that fat. And that's been known about for years that it's just like a big sheet of fat and you can actually cook things with it. So this guy, Steve Rinella, he'll like take a deer heart and like roll this fat around it and cook.
Nice.
And it like, dude, it looks amazing. Oh, shit.
I'm a big fan of cooking animals.
I think this is how you see that?
Yeah, that is pretty.
It's like a web. It looks like
it's a web. It looks,
how would you describe that? It looks like you're like a lung.
Yeah. The way lungs branch
like
out and like alveoli.
And stuff,
yeah, yeah.
But in a sheet of white and it's fat.
Of white fat.
And you see how he's got like a sausage rolled up in it and it's supposed to just taste.
That sounds great.
It's like wrapping like a piece of meat in butter. So we're almost done here, but I want to talk about something fun. So I actually cruised your Twitter page, which you don't really use that
I haven't
much.
Used in several years.
But you had a bunch of stuff about animals, and then you had one thing about BBC. They have a big nature documentary going on. What's it called? BBC, is it Planet Earth?
Which one? Are we talking Planet Earth?
Planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't actually see the first one or the second one.
No. What?
No. Yeah, I've seen other documentaries.
Where have you been?
doing stuff.
What have you been doing for the last 10 years?
So what's like your favorite?
Like 2006, man.
Did it really?
The first one, yeah. That's like why everyone's like, oh man, David Attenborough should narrate my life. Poor old British man.
I've listened to his other stuff, but I've never seen Planet Earth.
Gee, that's like the one.
Yeah. So what?
Chase, what the?
Sorry,
Jesus
man.
Jesus Christ.
So in Planet Earth, is there any? So we'll start with. Like a place. Is there any is there any sort of country that you saw on Planet Earth that you're like, I need to go there?
Like, definitely not when I watched it the first time because I was like 16.
Okay.
When I watched the second one this time, mm-hmm. I definitely thought about going to, you know, every place on there. Like I've only been to Australia and Japan
mm-hmm.
with like rugby tours.
Yeah.
I haven't done any real traveling.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would go, they did things where there's, like, monkeys running through the streets in Mumbai and, like, stealing
in
fruit
India,
out
yeah.
of vendors' hands.
Yeah.
They're, like, just coming up to people and just, it's like Abu and frickin'.
And Aladdin.
Yeah, and Aladdin. It's just stealing things and running away.
Yeah.
And people are yelling at these damn monkeys.
Yeah.
There's, I think it's the same city, too. There's, like, leopards.
Leopards in India?
It's either leopards or jaguars.
It's probably, I think it's jaguars. I don't know.
I can't remember.
Whatever.
And they're like hunting animals in the city.
Jesus.
So that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I want to go to India. India would be awesome. Indian and rural China.
Yeah.
Like uncharted China.
Real like
crazy.
Some culture shock
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And is there a weird animal you saw on Planet Earth that you or go see maybe in the wild?
I would like to see many of the animals in the wild. I think I've always identified with a sloth, you know?
You've identified with a sloth?
Oh, yeah. Live slow, die whenever.
Live slow. slow time whenever. Have you seen the video of the sloth getting taken away by an eagle?
No.
It's one of the most terrifying things you'll ever see.
That's not what I want to see. You want to watch the one from Planet Earth 2 where there's like a sloth swimming towards its mate. And it takes like 25 minutes.
Okay, well, we're not going to watch a 25-minute clip, but I'm going to show you this eagle killing a sloth. Okay, so this sloth
in the open is there for the taking.
Oh my God!
The harpy eagle snatches the sloth straight out of the tree.
He just flew through him.
So this is a harpy eagle. It's the biggest. I think it's the biggest eagle in existence at the moment. You didn't even see it coming.
Oh my God!
The harpy eagle snatches the sloth straight out of.
Yo.
Well, like, what does he even do then? Because there's no way he's dead.
Nature is a bitch.
Yeah, damn nature, you scary.
Every year during the rut, because I follow a lot of hunters on Instagram.
Of course you do.
So for the uninitiated, the rut is, so deer don't walk around with their antlers all year long. They grow them every year. And once they get, they'll reach a certain point usually in the fall. They start getting real horny, like haven't had sex forever.
So they're horny and they have large horns as
and
well.
And they grow swords out of their heads. And all that fur that is on the horns, they start scratching it off and they get it off on the trees and then they start to basically stab each other.
Yeah.
And every year hunters will post pictures of dead deer that they find during the rut or after the rut. So there's some where they're locked together and there's one where they got locked up. Like their antlers got stuck and they
couldn't get away.
And they fell in a lake and they were like drowned in the lake, locked together. There's one where these two deer got locked together and one of them got eaten by wolves. So there was one deer and it had the head of another deer attached to it
because
it got eaten by.
The rest of its body was eaten.
Yeah.
While they were still connected.
Yes.
And it got away.
Yes.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
There's... Jim, what's that head doing on your head? You are not going to believe this shit. So me and Bill are having to go.
We're having to go.
And these fucking wolves come up and kill him.
It's asshole first, just eating him, right?
Just eating him from the rear first.
Nature's...
All of a sudden, I'm working his head.
Working
it away. I'm telling the wolves, get to his neck, I'll get away. Don't eat me, though.
Lucky is that deer?
Fuck.
There's been hunters who found moose frozen. In
that
the snow
sense.
With chunks eaten out of them, just standing frozen. All right? Like,
just a good chunk dug out of them.
For the people who don't support hunting, the best way that a deer or a big game animal can die is getting shot by a hunter. Because they get either lunged or heart shot, you die in 30 seconds. They don't know what hit them. You watch videos of get shot. They go, oh, what was that? They start running, and then they fall over and bleed out and die. This is how deer die without getting shot. They get locked up in a fight and drown in the lake. They get eaten asshole first by a bunch of wolves. They starve in the winter. They freeze to death in the winter. Or if they get super old, they grind their food, right? They're animals that grind food. They don't brush their teeth. They don't have dental service. They grind their food. They grind their teeth. So sometimes if they get real old, they'll grind their teeth all the way down to the nub. They can't eat anymore. They starve to death like that. They get jumped by cougars. They get eaten by bears. And bears don't kill their food like cats do. So they don't hold the neck and murder them. They just start eating you.
Well, you're still going.
So they don't care if it's dead or not. They just start
eating
you.
That's
fair. So they just go for the guts.
And why do they tell you to play dead?
With bears?
Yeah.
Because most of the time when people get attacked by bears, it's not to eat them.
Oh, just
it's
to
defense.
Kill them.
Either it's a sow defending your cubs, or it'll be a guy just defending his territory, like a boar defending his territory. So if it kills you, it'll leave you alone, hopefully.
That's the idea.
Also, grizzlies will bury their food for later because they like stinky stuff. So if you play dead, they can, there's stories of a dude's getting buried.
Just dragged.
Dragged.
And buried alive.
And buried alive and then getting, because they don't, I mean, they're not.
Yeah, they're not going 6 feet under.
No, they're just, they're just covering it up, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's dudes that are like, like in, you've seen The Revenant?
I have.
You know how he gets messed up by that bear and it buries him sort of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That actually happens. So he gets out. He's messed up. But that's actually happened before. There's stories of dudes getting buried and then getting
out.
Well,
I mean, that actually happened, too.
Yeah, that, well, yeah. I mean.
To a point.
Yeah. I mean, that movie was a bit.
They didn't, did you read the story?
I just watched the movie.
So they cut one thing out that is in, like, the guy's actual, or whatever it is, the biography, the account of the original story.
Okay.
So when he put the bear pelt on himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens, like, when there's some dead meat lying around?
It gets rot. Oh, maggots.
It rots, and maggots are there.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Maggots actually, like, wove the bear skin. Like, he became one with it.
What do you...
Like, they just ate everything together, and his flesh kind of mixed
eaten.
With bear flesh. Yeah, he was eaten by maggots while he was, like, semi-dead.
Because...
That seems like... They put a lot of gross shit in that movie.
Yeah.
That seems like something you would put in there.
So he's...
Leo would have won like two Oscars.
Warm, right? So he's got that.
Yeah.
Oh, and like you can't just take it off because it's negative 40.
So there's like maggots eating him,
oh
eating the bear.
God.
Yeah.
That was like an old torture technique using.
Really?
Not maggots, but just bugs. So they.
Bugs.
I think that in Egypt they used it. So this is what they do. It's disgusting. I went on a big torture. I go on like, I don't know. I'm
a
sure
torture
you're,
porn.
I'm sure like you're like
chase.
Everyone, like you'll go down just a deep dark hole in the internet and just like start
every
looking at weird
then.
Wikipedia. So I was looking at like, I went down like the torture hole, like looking at
the old torture hole.
Yeah. Like,
I think that's a torture device.
That sounds like a device by itself. But, so I think this was ancient Egypt. They take two boats. And put them together.
Okay.
And so your arms would be sticking out, and your legs would be sticking out of holes, and your head would be sticking out of the boat. But so it's two boats.
Does it need to be boats? I feel like they could just contract a wooden
or
thing
sort,
here.
Or some sort of. It says
all
boats
right.
on the thing. So,
weird.
And they'd put like the open spaces together.
Okay.
And so you have like an egg sort of shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Your head sticking out, arms sticking out, legs sticking out, and they pour honey. And milk into your mouth and make you like eat basically.
Oh,
so,
and just shit
so
into
you,
the boat.
So you. And that will make you have diarrhea and like poo in the boat, start filling the boat.
So just
poo.
Milk and honey.
And then that starts smelling pretty ripe and the bugs come. And they're not just eating the milk and the honey poo, they start eating you.
And
they put
first.
You in the hot sun and they you get eaten alive basically.
God, fucking Egyptians, man. And they were like the scarab people. They would. That was all that weird shit.
The scarab people. What's that?
Well, the scarabs. Isn't that bug? I've seen the mummy.
Oh,
the
are
one
those
that
real?
Just. I'm pretty sure it's real.
No way.
They just crawl under your skin and eat your brain.
Scarab. No way.
100%.
That's a lie.
I'm certain.
I think they're making a new mummy.
They are with Tom Cruise.
No.
Tom Cruise is in the new mummy. There's a trailer that came out. I bet you I've watched it. Like Russell Crowe's in it.
What?
I'm serious. I don't know, man. I like Tom Cruise.
Is The Rock in it?
No.
He has to be. That guy's a huge star now. Okay, we're going to watch.
Yeah, yeah. The Rock's in something else.
Scarab may refer to beetles. I think it's just a beetle. It was worshipped by the ancient Egyptians.
Yeah, there you go. Egypt.
A holy beetle in ancient
Egypt. Close enough. Can't prove me wrong.
Okay, so I think we'll finish on this mummy trailer. We'll wrap up after this mummy trailer. So we're going to watch the... All right, so this is the Mummy trailer, number one, 2017, oof. Starring Tom Cruise and Sofia Boutella. That's some nice bass.
Yeah. So we're in an airplane.
Oh, Jesus. Sofia. That's got to be Sofia, hey?
I don't know. There's another chick in the movie. Like, the mummy's a... I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but I think the mummy's a chick.
No way.
Yeah.
How does Tom Cruise still look like he's 30? Dude, yo, that's got it.
We'll see.
This is November 4, 0-9-er-9-er.
What the hell? telling you, Tom Cruise makes a good action movie.
Oh,
he's just a perfect, like, oh, what is happening? I'm going to run now. Like, he just got thrown out of a plane. He's probably going to start running as soon as he lands.
I think I actually saw this part, and I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Okay, they're bouncing around a plane with a hole in the side of it right now. Hold on. I got to play that scream again. I got to play that loud. Okay, this is Tom Cruise screaming in an airplane.
Tom's dead. Okay. We're in a morgue right now.
Way to show us the whole movie in the preview.
No, hold on, hold on. Tom Cruise is not dead anymore. He came out of a body bag. He's looking kind of ripped.
How old is he now? Like,
he's
got to
be like at least 48.
Of gods and monsters.
Yo. So they went full Hollywood on this mummy movie.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser is not in it, so I will not be watching
Brendan
it.
Brendan Fraser.
Did you hear about him?
You know how many times we talk about Brendan, like National Treasure and those types of movies?
I do love a good... Nick Cage is the greatest living actor, easily. But
she has been. We're going to steal the Declaration of Independence. All right.
Oh, that is a chick.
Yeah, the mummy's a chick.
Yeah.
Maybe it is Sophia Boutella. Because the only one later in the trailer was like some blonde chick.
She was hot though.
Yeah, but there's no way her name's Sophia.
That's true.
She's not like exotic enough.
That's true.
But did you hear the whole thing about Brendan Fraser?
No, what happened to Brendan?
So there was this thing, I showed up on Reddit. It was like, get Brendan Fraser back in movies.
That's right, because he hasn't been in movies.
Apparently, so like what happened was he got divorced like a few years back, and his ex-wife just crushed him on alimony. Like, we're talking, she took, like, $9 million from him and wants, like, an annual salary of over $1 million.
Yeah, oh, because she wants as much money as he was making when he was making big movies.
Yeah.
And you can't make a giant movie.
And he can't make movies anymore because he's, like, he's got to be in his 40s. And
yeah.
Because his wife took all his alimony money, so he can't afford to, like, go to the gym. And
so he's just taking any movie he can.
I'll train you for free.
I don't think he's got the money to fly up from Hollywood to get
You never know.
So he's probably just taking every movie project he can and can't really
pick
the good ones.
Like the Nick Cage method?
Yeah, can't really pick the good ones.
Yeah.
He might hit a gem in a couple of years. Those guys come back, though. Like, women have a harder time after they're, like, 40 or whatever. But you'll have dudes like...
just show up.
Who's the guy in Star Wars? What's his name?
Harrison Ford?
Yeah, like... He did Star Wars and then, like, a couple other movies, and then he was out for, like,
30
or so years. And now he's in every movie. Like, he's got another one coming out at, like, some action movie.
What?
Yeah, and I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, well, no. He's going to be in Blade Runner.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
But that's because he was in the first one.
Oh, that's why he's coming back in all these movies. Oh,
it's because they're remaking all the shit that he was in originally.
He's not just doing cameos. He's starring in them, like in Rogue.
That's because people like Harrison Ford. He's angry.
Yeah.
He does this thing. They have there's this video of him doing it. He just kind of like shakes his finger, and it's without saying it. You know, every time Harrison Ford wags his finger at you, it means you motherfucker.
That's true. He also crashed his plane twice, I think. He flies airplanes. He crashed that. He almost died in the recent one. And then,
That's the safest way to travel.
A few years ago, I think. Well, not. It's a little plane, like a prop plane, flying it himself.
That doesn't sound safe.
Okay, John, let's wrap this up.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta go to home.
So, John Stea.
Fuck, Jesus Christ. Try that again.
John Stea, strength coach, UBC. If you want him to teach you how to get strong, go to level 10. Ask for John Stea. They'll hook you up. He's also got a bot on him, ladies. If you're looking for a man, hit him up. You can slide into his DMs on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
I mean, you don't do my Instagram.
Okay, slide into the DMs on Instagram. What's your name on Instagram?
I think it's just John Stea. I think there's like a 1 at the end of it, like a 01. But
JONSTEA.
Yeah.
1.
01.
Yeah, okay. And if you want to, I don't know.
I use Facebook.
Okay.
The emails,
he's on Facebook.
Too.
I mean,
just find me. I'm everywhere.
Okay.
Go to the varsity gym. I'm there half my day. The other half of my day, I'm in North Van.
Okay.
go to a gym. I'll just ask around. They know where I am.
Yeah. If you want to find me for some reason, my name's Chase Kelleher. On Twitter, it's just Chase Kelleher 1. And on Instagram, it's just straight Chase Kelleher. I think that's what it is. Pick a song. Play us out.
Let's go. You know what? You inspired this one. Let's go Stevie Wonder's Superstition.
Okay. Bye, everyone.